Let's take your Bible, turn to, I forgot what I was doing next, Numbers chapter 22, Numbers 22. I was getting ready to pray. I forgot which night it was. Numbers 22, we're going to read verses 15 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Numbers chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto the very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If men come, call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit, teach us the truth. Lord, I hope that for generations to come, this truth would last. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I want to show you a little of what I've observed over the last 40 years of being in church and in church work for many of those years. I would like this church to stay true to this book all the way to the rapture. Amen. Don't want it to change. I would like our church as a church, our church as a people, us as individuals, to stay true and right all the way to the end. Long after I'm unable to pastor this work, if the Lord tarries, I want the next pastor to be in here preaching the same kinds of things, same book, same way, same soul winning, same methods. Now, I've seen way too many churches, way too many preachers, and way too many church people change, especially after a leader dies or moves to another area. Now, I have no plans of going anywhere. Get that out of the way. Don't worry, all right? You're not going to get rid of me that easy. I'm not going anywhere, and I don't plan on dying soon, but you never know. I've watched dozens of good and great churches change, and it bothers me. I've watched hundreds of good men of God change. And let me say this, I don't believe it has to be that way. Amen. I really don't. I don't believe that a church has to change. I don't believe a preacher has to change. I don't believe that people in the church have to change. Now, let me say this. People are sinners. All of us are people. All of us are sinners. Churches are full of sinners, pastored by sinners, which, by the way, guess what? That means none of us are above sin. All right? This is why we should never try to build a church man's way, because man is nothing but a sinner. We get into this, Brother June, is somebody out there? I thought so. We get into this mentality that, times have changed and culture has changed, so we need to change our methods of building a church. That's man's way, not God's way. Styles have changed, so we should change how we preach standards and convictions because it's just not culturally accepted anymore. Well, God didn't say that this is the way we're supposed to be as long as it's culturally accepted.
Right
is right, wrong is wrong, period, end of discussion.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Culture has no bearing on that. If you believe that, then you don't care which bathroom you use. If you believe that, then sodomy's okay. You say, well, I don't draw my line at the same place you do. I don't draw the lines, God drew them.
Amen. That's good.
That's all there is to it. Everybody doing all right? It's going to get a little bit more exciting. Hang on. Now, man is a sinner. Preachers are sinners because they're men. That means a church should not be built on man's way because it's built on man's sinful ideas, not God's perfect, holy word. Now, this is his church, not my church. This is his church, not our church. God, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is supposed to be his church, not my church. Sometimes people say, well, how's your church? Well, Grace Baptist Church is doing fine, but God's the head, not me. I'm just obeying what he says. Now, if we do what he says with his book, according to this book, then, let me ask you a question. Has that book changed?
Yes, sir.
That means our church doesn't have to change either. Amen. That means your Christian life doesn't have to change in a wrong direction either. As long as we base it on that, it doesn't have to change. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to do wrong from time to time. Balaam is a very interesting person in the Bible. He was a preacher. Now, we read a portion here. I'm going to show you some things about it. Hang on. I had a frog in my throat and it decided to cross its legs. Balaam was a preacher. He was a man of God, and he started off very well. Matter of fact, he started off good, hot, and over time, he ended up changing. He ended up having a donkey here in Numbers 22. If we'd have kept reading, he had a donkey that was smarter than him. He was riding on a donkey. God told him not to go to a certain place, be with Moabites. He decided he'd go. While he was going, there was an angel about ready to whack Balaam to stop him. The donkey saw it. Balaam didn't. So the donkey stopped and brushed his foot up against the wall of rock next to him. And Balaam starts beating the donkey for not listening to him. And the Bible says that the donkey started talking to him. All right. to me, this is one of the funniest stories in all the Bible, because after the donkey talked to him, Balaam starts talking back to the donkey. Now, I don't know about you, but if the donkey started talking, I'm leaving. Amen. All right, this isn't Mr. Ed the talking horse. We're talking about, you know, if my dog, I get mad at my dog and it starts talking to me, we're having issues here. I'm grabbing the gun. I'm not sure who I'll shoot, but I'm going to grab it. Amen. There's just no way that critter, and for Balaam to start talking back, it shows you what rebellious stage he was in. Now, I say that to say this, the donkey had more sense, trying to keep him from disobeying God, but Balaam disobeyed anyway, and we won't go into the details of the story. Now, tonight, by the way, tonight, Balaam, we're going to use his life to show how we can keep from ending up the way Balaam did. There are four recorded messages of Balaam's in the Word of God. He wasn't a bad preacher. He didn't start off where he ended up. May I say this, and be very careful as you listen to me here. I've been around long enough, and I've rubbed elbows in some pretty big circles. For the last almost 30 years, full-time in the ministry, I've been around some of the biggest names there are. I went to church around two of the largest churches in the country where I grew up. Harold Henniger, in the days I went to Canton Baptist Temple, was running 10,000 in church. He worked for J. Frank Norris. I graduated from Bruce Cummins' Christian school, who also worked for J. Frank Norris. They were about 9 miles apart from one another. One's running about 2,500, the other about 10,000. And just up the road in Akron, you had Akron Baptist Temple running about 8,000. I grew up in the heart of that kind of stuff. I've preached at Akron Baptist Temple. I knew Dr. Henniger personally. I knew Dr. Cummins personally, knew his family. My wife and I have sat down in Mrs. Cummins' home after Brother Cummins went to heaven and spent an hour, hour and a half with her before she went to heaven here in the last couple years. I worked for Brother Hiles, the world's largest Sunday school. I was on staff for many years with him. I've been around Brother Roloff and sat in living rooms and talked with Dr. Lester Roloff. My cousin was one of the girls killed on the plane crash with him. I know Dr. Joe Boyd and Tom Malone and Lee Robertson, and you name them, I've probably been with them, spent time with them. Let me say something very carefully here. We don't have to end up like some of those churches have over the years. Dr. Robertson's church isn't even a church anymore. Highland Park Baptist Church is now called the Highlands. Tennessee Temple is no longer. They went back into the Southern Baptist Convention, and Highland Park Baptist Church is now a Southern Baptist church with a rock playing rock music and everything else. Last 15 years of Dr. Robertson's life, I hosted him. Dr. Robertson held onto that arm right there while we were talking one day and walking. He said, "Young man, don't you change. Don't you change." I said, "Don't worry, Doc." I said, "I have no plans of it." He said, "Don't you dare let this place end up like my place has." He said, "I have an office there. They don't even know who I am. I'm not even welcome to preach there." He said, "Don't you do that to Brother Hiles when he's gone." I said, "Don't worry, sir. As long as I'm here, it won't end up that way." I said, "I'll leave before it happens that way." I heard Dr. Robertson himself say that to me. "Not even welcome at my own college. Not even welcome at my own church." How sad. How sad. Now, let me give you about three or four things. And honestly, it's not going to be a long sermon, but let me start by saying this. Number one, Balaam started well and did much good. If you read in Numbers, you find out Balaam did do a lot of good. He believed the word of God the right way. He had four sermons that God used in the scriptures. He was what we would have called a fundamentalist. And probably in his early days would have been the kind of guy I'd have hung around with. He was a radical like us. He preached loyalty to God, Numbers chapter 22, verse 18. He preached that God works through a man, Numbers 23, verses 1 through 20. He preached hard enough to make people mad. My kind of guy. Numbers chapter 23, verse number 26. Look at Numbers 23, verse 26. I love this. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, "Told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do?" And Balak said unto Balaam, "Come, I pray thee, I will bring them up to another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence." He was making people mad. He was making them upset. Now, and he preached that Jesus was coming. Numbers chapter 24, verses 1 through 30. He preached a whole sermon about the coming Messiah. He believed like you and I would believe. And yet, he disobeyed God and changed. Now, Balaam had a good start and had a good foundation. But a good beginning doesn't guarantee a good finish. Now, I think you got a better chance if you got a good beginning. But it doesn't guarantee that just because somebody was right 30 years ago that they're still right.
That's true.
Just because they were right 5 years ago doesn't mean they're still right. Everybody doing all right? I've watched people change that quick. So Balaam started well and did much good. Point number two. Balaam had a time of change. He had a time of change. Balaam entertained or listened to the wrong crowd. Balaam disobeyed God, and the donkey had more sense in him because Balaam wasn't even supposed to be talking to Balak. He wasn't even supposed to be sitting down fellowshipping with Balak to be offered anything. God had told Balaam years before, "Don't meddle with them. Don't fiddle with them. They're going to change you." And may I say this, he sat down and listened to the wrong crowd. He allowed them to offer him things that he should not have been tempted by, and he took time to think about the offers they made to him. I'm probably going to get blackballed by the local ministerial association. I don't know. I don't listen to them. I don't take their phone calls. I got an email this week from a pastor so-and-so. Don't even know what his name was. Getting ready to start one of these new denominational church, non-denominational churches in the area and would like to grab a coffee with me. Say, what did you do? Move message to trash. Bleep. Not because I'm rude, but I have no business sitting down with people that don't even believe that this is the Word of God. You say, you're not even going to go have coffee with him? Nope. I might like him. And if I like him, he might draw me into something that we shouldn't be drawn into.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
I don't think he's a bad person. If I met him on the road, I wouldn't know who he was, so I'd shake his hand. It wouldn't bother me. Now, I'm not going to be rude, but I don't have to sit down and have coffee with the fella either. He's trying to meet all the pastors in the area and have coffee with them. And God bless you. You probably don't want me there then, because a lot of them won't show up. It's all right. Can I tell you something? The best way to keep from changing is don't fellowship with people that aren't going the right direction.
Yes, sir.
It's that easy. Do you know, I don't listen to preachers who have changed direction. I don't even listen to their old sermons. I don't listen to them. I could name preachers that some of you may know, and I don't listen to them, nor do I go back and listen to their sermons, because I know where they're going now, and they've changed. So I don't even listen to the old sermons that they preach.
Smart.
You say, why? Because I might want to find out where they're at now, and might want to entertain going the direction they're going. So I don't tempt myself with that. That's what God said we should do. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Balaam compromised his stand to be accepted by a different crowd. Can I tell you something? I don't plan. And by the way, I'm nobody's idiot. I'm not the smartest theologian you've ever met. But I've met enough theologians, I don't want to be like them. But you'll go long and hard to find somebody that'll teach you the Word of God as clear and plain. I'll promise you that. I'm not being arrogant. But I know what that book says. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not worried about being labeled by the intelligentsia community. The smart people's groups. I'm not worried about being accepted by those that have a church that's more like a social club than a house of God. Well, we have 7 millionaires in our church. God bless you. I got 300 heirs. It doesn't matter. Maybe. That's on a good day. Can I tell you something? I'm not worried about being accepted. Can I tell you this, though? When God provides, he sure does provide around here.
Amen.
I'm not worried about necessarily who's all sitting in the pew as long as we know him.
Yes, sir.
Because when we go to him, it doesn't matter. It's fun to watch how God blesses this church. It is neat to see how God uses every human being in this church who's willing to obey. We've had weeks where we've had visitors came because of a bus kid, inviting a bus kid. Praise the Lord. We've had Sundays where we've had 10, 15, 20 visitors. We had visitors this morning because of Fred and Wally. Who'd ever thought Fred would even come to church? Let alone have visitors come with him.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. I mean, I remember the day him standing out there in the doorway, wouldn't let me in his t-shirt and no socks on his feet. Stood there and talked to me, and it was cold out. I thought, man, this dude's hard. He won't even ask me in. It's cold out here, but as long as he's willing to stand there, I can outlast him. I got a coat on. I got socks and shoes on. I didn't know he couldn't feel anything in his feet. Or his head. Wait a minute. We went from that to God used them to bring visitors to church.
Amen.
And that wasn't the first time they brought visitors. I've watched God use everybody in this church. Let me say this right here. I'm proud of Joe Lopez.
Amen.
Joe Lopez is not naturally a children's church preacher. But may I say this? He loves those kids, and those kids love him, and they listen to him. He is becoming one of the best children's church preachers I know.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Say why? Because he's just willing to obey God.
Amen.
Man, I love that. I love that. I love watching what God does through everybody. You take Ron and Tammy teaching first through third grade boys and girls. He loves those kids, and those kids love him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm not sure Tammy does. No, but you take Brother June. He moved here from Japan when he was 14, and then married a Polish girl. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. But he didn't even know English, and yet now he teaches adult Sunday school class and does a phenomenal job. This is a fellow that was lost. Studying to be a witch, involved in witchcraft. God saved him out of it. Guy was scared to death to get up and talk in front of people. Now he can't hardly get him to not talk. I'm teasing. Love these. Look what God's doing with so many. You know, Balaam compromised his stand because he wanted to be accepted by another crowd. Can I tell you something? And please listen to this very, very carefully here. The music in a church can get so highbrow that it leads a church into this intelligence community. I don't believe in the classical music in church. Thank God for Kirsten, who learned how to play the piano so she could play for church.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
If you can't use it for God, what good is it? Now, I didn't say there's anything sinful about classical music, but I'll tell you this. 98% of the classical composers were infidels, pagans, and people that you wouldn't want to be around. Most of them died of sexually transmitted diseases. Now, Balaam changed his message to be accepted by these people. He sat down and was entertained by them to the point where, well, I can go associate with them and maybe I can change the message enough to where I can reach them and bring them my direction. Wrong angle. I will not accept positions to speak in places that are not like us.
That's good.
I don't go out and preach a whole lot anyway, but if I do, they're going to be like us. I'm not going to say, well, I'd like to speak for so-and-so. Maybe I could influence them to come our direction. Uh-uh. Wrong answer.
That's right. Amen.
Wrong answer.
Amen.
I don't do that. Balaam lost the power of God because he was accepted by the wrong crowd. I don't know about you. I'd rather have the hand of God on our church than be accepted by the wrong crowd.
Amen.
I'd rather have God pleased than anything. That's how you're supposed to live your life. Can I tell you something? Be careful who you listen to. There's a lot of people out there that'll try to impress you with their knowledge of the scriptures. I had a Bible teacher when I first went to college. Everybody thought he was the cat's meow. I won't give you his name. He's in jail today. His wife's in jail. As I got through Bible college, I found a name that he used. I went and did some research and found out every one of his notes he copied from a man named Warren Wiersbe, who wasn't even a fundamentalist. Nobody had enough sense. Now, wait a minute. Do I think he was a bad person? No. I think he was good intended, but then he got with the wrong crowd. Everybody doing all right? Now he and his wife both sit in jail, probably for the rest of their life, and have been in jail for years, many years. Unbelievable. Say, what happened? Wrong crowd. Balaam lost the power of God because he took time to think with these people and sat down and fellowshiped with them. Be careful who you listen to preach. I'm telling you, you say, well, preacher, this person was good, was, key word. You might want to ask me. I'm not telling you that I have to prove everybody you listen to, but it might do you some good to listen to me. I don't listen to people that don't preach the right way or with the right people. People are messed up.
That's right.
Somebody told me something. I didn't believe them. They told me where to go to look to find out. I did. If I used this name right now, you'd be shocked. But they went and preached for a non-denominational rock and roll church in a state near here. And then talked about how wonderful it was to worship with them on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. If I gave the name, you'd be shocked. Preaches in several different Bible colleges around the country. Preaches around the country. But he's also associating with non-denominational people. Guess what? I disassociated. I sensed something wrong several years ago and drew my lines a long time ago. Said, I'll put that one on hold for a while. Something's not right. Well, I find out why later. It's okay. Now, would I still be his friend? I'd be his friend, but I'm not going to spend much time with him. I'll be friendly with him, but I'm not going to go preach with him. I'm not going to ask him to come preach here. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Next. Why do preachers and churches and Christians change? Did you bang his head on the wall? Yeah, right. He's sleeping. He didn't know any better. I'm not talking about your husband's head either. Why do preachers, why do churches, why do Christians change? Number one, they change to get a bigger crowd. Can I tell you something? I want this church to be as big as God wants it to be, but I'm not worried about how big it gets. It'll grow. It already is growing, just so you know.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to see sometimes in this small room, and we had almost as many people downstairs as we had upstairs today. You don't see the whole crowd because of the way our building is structured. And I know we're crammed in here and we're losing visitors. As soon as they hear we're building, great. As soon as you get your building, let us know. We'll come back. Our church will double that like that as soon as we get in a new building. I understand that. But may I say this? We're here to reach our crowd, not the whole world. We're not going to reach the world from Martinsburg, West Virginia. We're going to reach them one at a time in Martinsburg and Hagerstown and Winchester and Inwood and Hedgesville and Kearneysville, praise God, Charlestown, Ranson. We're just going to reach them all over this area, one at a time. God gives the increase, not man. Did you know what happens when you have a bigger crowd? You have bigger problems. Well, it would be so much better if we had more people. Then you're going to complain about your young people being influenced by people that they shouldn't be influenced by. And you're going to complain about how many bad young people there are. You're not happy when there's not enough, and then you're happy when there is enough. That's not true. You don't know what is enough. Why don't you worry about yours just living right now? Ouch. Number next. People change because they get tired of being the outcast or labeled unintelligent by the wrong crowd. Did you know that people who call me unintelligent don't bother me a bit?
Amen.
They can label me however they want. Now, I'm not a country bumpkin that fell off the hay wagon backwards either. I might be a redneck, but I also know how to read that book right there. I'm nobody's fool. I don't want to be accepted by somebody because I'm intellectually advanced above everyone else. I'm not going to get up and start using fancy words and fancy outlines to impress people to show them how smart I am. You know, I don't care how nice you clean up a pig. It's still a pig.
Right. Yes, sir.
You can scrub them, put milk on them. And people will literally wash pigs in milk to make their fur, their skin, shinier. You can do all that, but it's still a pig. You wait 2 hours, it's not going to be clean. It's going to do something to mess itself up. And can I tell you something? Most of these people that think they're smart aren't as smart as they think they are because they're trying to do it their way and not God's way. They change because they want to be liked by the intelligent community. Well, they have big buildings, so they must be successful. Where in the Bible does it say you have to have a big building to be successful? Where does it say you have to have fancy buildings to be successful? Where does it say that you have to have a big crowd to be successful? Now, so they change because they get tired of being labeled the outcast. I got over that a long time ago. I really did. Good night. First church my wife and I worked in Southern California. You talk about somebody from Goober's Knob that landed in L.A. It was me. My wife and I are green out of Bible college. I was about as radical as you could get. I didn't even own a television while I was in California. I had people stop by my house. We heard you don't have a television. Nope, come on in. They'd never seen somebody that didn't have a television. They'd never heard of it. I mean, we were the oddballs. We had about 70 baptisms the first year I was in that church, and about 55 or 60 of them were between my wife and I. I mean, we were the only thing keeping that thing alive. And things were changing. It was getting really wild. I got done preaching a sermon in chapel. And the next Wednesday night, the preacher got up and said, well, some people believe this, but this is the way we believe. Took my sermon outline, preached it in reverse. Not a good thing. Wednesday nights, we would stay on the platform as staff men till the sermon. Then we'd go down and sit by our wives. I didn't know he loaded the gun against me. My wife leaned over and said, what's the matter? I said, we're in a battle. It's okay. Closing prayer, let's slide out. It got ugly. Let me tell you. It got ugly. Oh, by the way, we left, worked another church, came to this area. The man that was the pastor is no longer in the ministry. Well, he calls it the ministry. He works with the speedboat and the IndyCar racers. He's the chaplain for the IndyCar circuit and the speedboat racers. Went from pastoring to doing that. Now, do I think he's doing all wrong? No, but he sure did step back a long ways. Now, wait a minute. They change because they need or want more money. I watch preachers change because they need money. They get in over their head. I watch it. Maybe they were unwise. Maybe they built too foolishly. I'm going to let everybody know something. The building we're about to build isn't going to be big enough for our church. But it's going to be big enough for us to be able to handle the bills right away. I'm not willing to go millions of dollars in debt to have this ginormous building that eventually we'll fill. We're going to fill it one step at a time. It's not the last building program we're going to have. That's why I got the second building approved by the county already. And its locations and everything that we're putting in is big enough for two buildings. You say, why? Because we can't afford 12,000 square feet, but we could afford 6,000 square feet. And when we fill that, we'll have enough people tithing that we'll be able to pay for the next 6,000 square feet. I believe in doing it that way rather than going so far in debt that we get ourselves crosswise that we have to change our message to go out and reach people with money. I'm not even going there. But let me say this. I believe God blesses an obedient church with the money necessary to take care of the needs of that church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't always know where it's going to come from, but I know God always does.
Amen.
I was asking the Lord for a blessing. He provided it today. I asked God for a certain thing. God gave it exactly as I asked. Say, how's that happen? I don't know, but God does it. God gives givers to a giving church. God gives obedient givers to a church that obeys. Hey, that's how God provided the land we needed. Do you know nobody in this area believes that we only paid $89,000 for those 4 acres? There's not a 1 acre slab in that area that sells for under $100,000 per acre. We got four for $89,000. And it has the turn lane, and it has a 2-lane driveway, and it has the water retention on it, and it has the well that's already dug. Those things right there add another $350,000 minimum to the price of that property. And it has the kneeler wall for the exit that goes under the street. Those stupid things cost you $40,000 for a dumb piece of concrete that's got to be engineered and approved by the county. It's got two of those on that property. God took care of it all. So I guess God's able to meet the needs. So let's not cater. By the way, rich people aren't bad people either, just so you know. God says, make unto yourselves friends, or friends of the mammon of this world. Do you know I have people that I consider my friends that have money? I've been emailing back and forth with a man that's he's probably worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Dr. Anderson is my friend. The Jehovah Jireh Ministries and their director, he's our friend. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop everything just to reach people like that. Now, I'm not going to pass them up, and I'm not going to not knock on their door either. They're going to get the gospel, amen? So, number next, change to be a part of a good community project. I'm for being a good neighbor. I'm for being involved in our community as a church, but we're not going to stop being a church to participate in the local parade, just to say we were in the parade to be a part of the community. I'd rather go out passing out tracts and winning people to the Lord during the parade than have a float in the parade. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Let me bring it down to where we live. That's what happened to Jerry Falwell with a moral majority back in the 70s and 80s. I can't believe you said that, preacher. I did. Jerry Falwell got more interested in the voting in the precincts than he did bus captains. And he let his college go to the devil by liberals while he got everybody involved in voting. I'm for voting, but let's keep soul winning, and then we'll work on the voting. I'm not against going out and picking up trash. I do it every week around here. I'm for being good neighbors to the people that we do business with here and in this building. And my secretary today, we've done project after project. When we were in the other building, every year we knocked on every door of every neighbor and gave gifts to them. But we're not going to join the local rescue mission just to be a part of it for community service. And please don't get mad at me for this statement, but where is it written that a church has to pay everybody's bills?
Yes, sir.
I had a local big shot get mad at me. He said, well, if you churches were doing your job, the community wouldn't have to pick up the tab for this. I said, where is it said that the community picks up the tab for it? I don't think the community should build a rehab house for a bunch of heroin-infected people. Amen. What they need is a man of God to get up and clean their plow and let them live on the streets long enough to where they get tired of doing it, not us providing it for them. Sorry. Now, I'm not against helping those folks, and there needs to be a place for them, but our tax dollars should be the one paying for it. Now, got to hurry here. I got two more points, and one more point with some sub-points. They change because their friends change, and they're not willing to stand without their friends. People change, churches change, preachers change because their friends have changed, and they're not willing to stand without them. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what their name is, if they've changed, I'm not changing with them. That book hadn't changed in all those years. I'm not changing. I'm not going to have people that have changed come preach for me because they've been my friend for a long time.
Amen.
Period. Just because they're my friend doesn't mean they have the right to preach here. If they're running with the wrong crowd, why would I have them? Everybody doing all right?
Preach it.
When they keep supporting schools and conferences with people that have changed, I distance myself. When they're still involved with people that are going the wrong direction, I'm going to take a step back and say, I'm going to wait and see where you are for several years. I'm going to find out if you're just slow in making change or if you're really making a change and going the wrong way. They think that because once they were doing right, that they're always going to do right. May I say this? I've been warned my whole life, places change. Don't be loyal to places. Be loyal to the Word of God. Well, I've stayed true to the Word of God. I don't care where the places go.
Amen.
I'm not welcome at the Bible college I graduated from. Doesn't bother me a flip. Do I wish some of the people that I know and love there would love me and be our direction? Yeah, they're the ones that changed. I didn't. I'm not mad at them. They come to town here and don't even call me. It's okay. Say, well, you must have really made them mad. I don't know how. All I did is what they taught me to do.
Right.
If that made them mad, so be it. They're the ones that changed, not me.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you Facebook with. Careful who your associations are. Everybody doing all right? I don't have Facebook. I don't have Twitter. So I can't keep up with the president-elect. I'm sorry. He's not my favorite person in the world, but he does have some guts, let me tell you. I will give him that. At least we have a man that will be in the White House. I may not agree with everything he says or does, but I like the fact that I like how he's doing it, that's for sure. He's got the press turned on their ear. And quit believing the press. Russia did not hack the election.
That's right.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. There's only two parts of an election. People voting and the votes being counted.
Yep.
Nobody has claimed the votes were wrong. Nor the count. So what did Russia hack? They're mad that they think Russia hacked Hillary's emails. And that's what got out. And that's what ruined the election. It's about Hillary's email. By the way, she never denied any of the truth that came out in it.
That's right.
Quit believing what the press says.
That's right.
All right? I love my friends. I love my friends that have changed. But I'm not changing with them. My love for them says, I love you enough to stop associating with you till you come back going the right direction.
Amen.
And you must prove yourself before I associate. So you're awful lonely. I'm the happiest person you ever met. I'm not upset. I love my friends. But I didn't get in the Lord's work to have friends. You know, I didn't get in the Lord's work to have people praise me. I got into the Lord's work because God wanted it. Now, listen to this, and I'll finish. That book is where you build your church.
Yes, sir.
I counseled a pastor this afternoon. He said, preacher, he said, I got a mess. He said, I got a man in my church. He said, what do you do for Christmas for your church? I said, well, this is what we normally do. He said, do you decorate? I said, I can't. I don't have room for any decorations. I said, but I will. I said, we have. He said, I got a family in my church that's all upset because we decorated for Christmas. It's a pagan holiday. And it got to the point where the man called his pastor a reprobate. I said, sounds like somebody's too big for their britches and you better put him in his place.
Amen.
I said, sounds like he's a rich businessman and he wants to run your church. He said, how'd you know? I said, you tell him you're going to come to his office tomorrow morning and tell him how to run his business. Find out how he likes it. I said, tell him to keep his nose out of God's business. I said, you separate over doctrine, not a preference.
That's right.
I said, a Christmas tree or not a Christmas tree, Christmas lights or no Christmas lights, has no bearing on people getting saved.
That's right.
I said, but if he's willing to call you a reprobate, he's got a much deeper problem. I said, quit being nice. I said, you're going to have to grab the bull by the horns and shake it good and hard. I said, you're trying to be too nice right now. I said, strong leaders going to take strong correction every once in a while. I said, and you may lose them, but at least your people know. I said, you better get up and preach on, this church is built on doctrine, not our preferences. If I have a preference, I'll let you know, but, and I've heard, you've heard me say this. This is what I believe, but you can believe something else. Doesn't bother me. If you believe in eating healthy food and drinking swamp water and eating tree bark and taking a vitamin for everything and what's that barley green stuff that cows eat or digest or whatever, you know, have at it. I'm not drinking the stuff. But at the same time, there's people that believe that if you do that, you're from the booger man. And I don't believe that. But some of the natural people think that if you take an aspirin or you take a pain pill or you take an arthritis pill that you're going to go to where the boogeyman lives because you went to a doctor. Can I tell you something? Somewhere in the middle is reality.
Yep.
Why can't... By the way, nobody's going to die and go to hell over the fact that you eat tree bark and drink swamp water or you drink Coke and whatever. Yeah, you might get there faster. I understand. Either way. But did you know healthy people die too?
That's right.
Yes,
nobody lives forever. Can I tell you something? Those are preferences.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you tell me that you get saved by getting baptized or you have to keep the law to get saved, then we're going to go fighting.
Amen.
That's when we're going to part ways.
Yes, sir.
We start talking about doctrine. But when you run with people that have already changed, I separate from the people that are running from the people that already changed. I set my parameters back here because if they're entertained by them, they're being influenced by them, they're going to influence me. I've got to protect what influences me so I don't influence you the wrong way. That's how you keep from ending up like Balaam talking to a donkey. It amazes me. A donkey had more sense than a Baptist preacher. Let's not be guilty of change. The wrong crowd will do it. By the way, that's why I think you ought to be careful who you hang around with. They'll impress you to the point where you would like to be like them. But once you're like them, you may not be what you think you are.
Right.
Promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sad that Dr. Robertson's church tonight didn't even have church. Rock and roll music. Not a one of them knew more than Dr. Robertson. Not a one. But look where they ended. We don't have to end up that way. Let's make ourselves a pact with God that we individually aren't going to meddle with them that are given to change.